And if you will, please, take your Bible. And let's turn to John chapter 21 tonight. John chapter 21. I'm telling you, I remember many occasions in raising seven children in our family. There was a lot of fighting. And I can remember often hearing one of the kids say to the other one, "Mind your own business." Right? You know, when I look at John 21 and the way that Jesus deals with Peter's question, I get the impression that he's basically saying to Peter, "Hey, Peter, mind your own business." I take you to the 21st chapter, and Jesus has taken Peter aside, and he has three times asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Because you remember three times Peter what? He denied the Lord, didn't he? And so he asks him three times, and three times Peter, of course, confesses that he loves the Lord, but the third time he said, "Well, Lord, you know my heart." And then Jesus says this to him, John 21, you're open to it, verse 18, verse 18. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." What is he saying? Well, verse 19, he explains. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." In other words, how Peter would die. Remember he said, "Lord, though everyone else denies you, I won't deny you. I'm ready to die for you." And of course, he denied the Lord three times. The Lord restores him right at this point. And now the Lord says, "You know what? You're going to have an opportunity to die for me someday. That's how your end's going to come." And then notice this. "And when he had said this," verse 19, "when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me." Verse 20. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following," that would be John, "which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do?" Now here it is. Look at Jesus' reply to Peter about what's going to happen to John. "I'm going to die. What about John?" Verse 22. "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Doesn't it sound like he's saying, "Hey, Peter, mind your own business," right? Mind your own business. You know, it is natural human nature to be curious about the future, especially what your personal future is and how you fit into the future prophetically as well. And both of those things sort of fit into our current situation, don't they? There's been some crazy things that I've read or heard people say that is happening that fulfills Bible prophecy as a result of what we're going through. I don't believe that. But people have these kinds of ideas. And I want to speak to you tonight from a message that I have just titled, Mind Your Business. And the first area is, mind your business when it comes to your personal future, and mind your business when it comes to the prophetic future as well. So let me share some thoughts beginning with this 21st chapter and this particular occurrence that we've just read after we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the instruction that we derive from your word. And I pray that you would just really drive the truth that you want to communicate to our hearts tonight deep within us. and accomplish your purpose. And Lord, may it be that which we would live by. May it have transforming power in our life, we pray. Well, thank you for it. May Jesus be praised as we ask it in his name. Amen. So, this whole section, and especially verse 22, I'm thinking that what Jesus is saying is, mind your business regarding your personal future, and specifically, what's going to happen to you in the future versus what is going to happen to another person or another believer. Jesus says, what is that to thee? In other words, mind your business. There is in that the proper attitude that we need to have in living for the Lord and wanting to serve him. You know what that proper attitude is? You know how you mind your own business? It really begins by you having a proper understanding of what it is and what it involves to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord. And I can sum it up in one word. What Jesus said to Peter is where we need to live every day, and that is in the realm of death. Jesus prophesied that Peter was going to die. Peter was going to lay down his life in sacrifice for his Lord. And I believe that only when you and I as believers settle the matter of death are we ever really ready to live for the Lord and to serve God. You gotta settle the matter of death, your death. And that happens by a full surrender to him. The Bible says that we are called upon by God to surrender our whole body, our whole person to the Lord. And we are to give ourselves over to him completely. Everything about us, everything that pertains to us. We are to put our entire life on God's altar so that when the time comes, like Paul faced, you'll be ready to be offered. Remember in 2 Timothy, when Paul's at the end of his life, he said, I am now ready to be offered. And the only way you and I will ever be ready to be offered is if we settle this matter of death, if we have surrendered our whole lives to the Lord. Your life is not yours. Don't ever forget that. It's easy to forget that. Your life is not yours. It has to be handed over. It has to be given back to God. And really, the believer, like Peter, that pays with his life for loyalty to the Lord is really not facing tragedy, but really glorifying the Lord. And so it all begins. Your future has to be settled. My future as a believer has to be settled by, first of all, coming to grips with the fact that, you know, I'm dead. My life isn't mine. And God has every right to do with me whatever he chooses to do. That's the first thing. But I think also in this passage, when he tells Peter, what is that to you? What business is that of yours? What's going to happen to John? We can get totally distracted by these kinds of things over another believer's future compared to our own. I'm going to die for you? Well, what about him? Is he going to have to pay with his life too? Jesus doesn't answer that question. Because it's a wrong focus on, and it's a wrong comparison, and it's a wrong concern about you, your life, and your service for the Lord compared with other people. That is a major problem. That presents a major distraction. And we need to avoid that because it will sidetrack us from the will of God. It's not that we ignore other people, our brothers and sisters, but we don't let our curiosity about our future or their future distract us. It's a distraction. And so he says, basically, mind your business. It's also a danger, because the possibility is that if you are more concerned about what other people have to suffer or what other people face compared to what God says, this is your portion, this is your lot as my servant, you could develop discontentment and even perhaps an inferiority complex that would lead you to feel jealous or envious or even be intimidated by others. Or you could develop a prideful, arrogant, superiority attitude. And so it's necessary that we realize that every single believer has a special gift and calling from the Lord. And simply live your life on the basis of, here's what God has for me, and it's not merely for me, but it's for me to minister to the body of Christ. It's for me to be a blessing to others. Your personal future. First of all, you got to settle that matter of death. If you don't, it becomes a distraction. It can be a danger. And really, it comes down to our duty. We are to focus on our personal calling from the Lord. And our personal calling is very simple. You know what your calling is in life? Walk with God. It's as simple as that. Your calling is to walk with God, and that is your duty. That's what you're to be focused on. To follow Jesus. That's what he says to him. Follow me. And then when he says, mind your business, he repeats it. Follow thou me. That's what your life is about. That's what your duty is in life. It's simply to focus on God's calling in your life, which is to walk with him, to follow him. That is to be your top priority, not meddling in other people's lives and business. And really, the ground for all of that is how God dealt with Peter in the verses prior to. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you really love me with that kind of love that I create in the heart? Because that love is the ground for everything. That love relationship with the Lord Jesus is what is the basis for following him. It's and to choose to use for God to use you as he will. It's not up to you, it's up to him. And it's a love relationship. Then secondly, I want to go over in my Bible, it's just I think a page to Acts chapter 1. Because here's another time. It's not as clear, but the implication is the same. Mind your business. Acts chapter 1. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's spending 40 days with the disciples before his ascension to heaven. Verse 3 says, he showed himself alive to them after his passion or his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 40 days he taught them about the kingdom of God. Drop down with me. They said to him in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Look at Jesus' answer to them in verse 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Here, mind your own business regarding the prophetic future. It's not you versus others, but it's you versus biblical prophecy. And specifically, the establishment of Messiah's kingdom. Basically, mind your business. It's not for you to know. the timing of it, that is. Now, this conception of the kingdom of God, for 40 days we see in verse 3 that Jesus was teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God. I've counted it up. There's about 8 times throughout the book of Acts where Jesus is teaching, or the disciples, rather, are teaching about the kingdom of God. This is the first reference to it. And it makes sense, then, that they would ask that question in verse 6. Will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Because they've had 40 days of teaching by Jesus on the kingdom of God. And being Jewish, obviously they would long for their enemies to be defeated, the Roman Empire, and for the final establishment of that glorious kingdom under King Messiah ruling. But the 12 disciples, or whoever these were that gathered around Jesus these 40 days, those disciples were ignorant. They did not understand the spiritual aspect of the kingdom of God for this present age. And notice very clearly in that 7th verse, Jesus, he does not say that God's through with Israel. There is no kingdom for Israel. Don't get that out of that statement. That's not what he's saying at all. The Lord will return, verse 11 tells us. He said when he's ascending, I'm going to come back just as you've seen me go. There is a future for Israel. There is the establishment of the kingdom by Messiah for Israel in the future. But what he's saying here is the timing of that is not your business. So mind your business. It's not for you to know. There's some things it's not for you to know. And so it's futile, people. It is futile to speculate about some of these things that God hasn't told us that are prophetic. We have no idea when Jesus is going to return. We don't know when Jesus is going to return for his bride, the church. Just as we don't know when the second coming is, we don't know when the rapture is going to occur. We say it's soon, but we don't know that. It may be soon as God counts time, but I don't know if it's soon as the way I say soon is. He could come at any time, I understand that. And the prophetic clock, you might say, is on hold until the rapture, and that will start it all up again. So he says here, mind your business regarding a prophetic truth that has to do with the kingdom, the timing of it. And in fact, he turns their concentration on something else, which really refers to the spiritual aspect of this kingdom. Look at the next verse, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, the disciples were focused on political power to experience and to enjoy freedom from Roman occupation. And it's so easy to lose focus on the main reason we're here. We're not merely here as Americans to enjoy the American dream and even to enjoy the freedom that we have as Americans. That is a fringe benefit, but that's not to be our main focus. Our main focus, what's more important is the more important thing is not to be curious about the future, but rather to be occupied for the Lord in the present. And the occupation that we are to be involved in is to be sharing the message of salvation and advancing and extending this spiritual kingdom of the Messiah that appears those 8 times in the book of Acts. And in fact, it really comes down to completion He's talking in that 8th verse, he's talking about the completion regarding the spiritual kingdom. You know what the Christian life is? The Christian life is a life of service. It's a life of being a witness, as verse 8 calls us. And that life of witness requires supernatural enablement, empowerment, the Holy Spirit to endue us with His power so that we don't just impart a message, but we impart His life. It's the imparting of new life, and it's accomplishing that evangelism and that advancement and extension of the kingdom. Notice this, worldwide, to the uttermost part of the earth. And it all begins with yielding death to self and allowing the Holy Spirit then to establish the Messiah's kingdom within your own heart. That's where the advancement of the kingdom begins, in your own heart, in your own life, where Jesus rules in your heart. To really mind your business is to not stay focused on other things, but rather to stay focused on why you're here. Why has the Lord left you here? Why are you here? And what are you supposed to be occupied with anyway? Your career? Your job? Bunch of other stuff? No. Look, to boil it all down and to put it in that proverbial nutshell, it simply means this: you have to learn to trust God. To depend upon Him, first of all, to save your soul. And then secondly, to trust Him for your future. Mind your own business. And Acts 1:8 is your business. You know what your business is and mine? What Acts 1:8 says, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, and to evangelize the world. So mind your business. Be filled with the Spirit. Be a witness for Jesus wherever you go. And be involved in evangelizing the world. And then you'll truly be minding your own business. That's His business. And it's ours. So our Heavenly Father, I pray that You might just cause these truths to, again, grab us. And not let go of our hearts. That we would not be caught up worried about other stuff and other people in the wrong sense, but rather that we would mind our own business. We would mind our business by being focused on the business that You have left us here to accomplish. Fill us with Your Spirit, that we might have Your enablement and the power to be Your witnesses and to be a part of worldwide evangelism. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.